Several announcements to make during communion and service. Please hold all the elements until we are served and take them together and with a sense of unity. Any loose offering in the plate, like coins or dollar bills, are not marked for something special. We'll go to the session fund for the work of the session. And if you'll sign your register, your red pad, and pass it down at this time. Also, if you can sign the little communion cards and drop those in the offering plate, we would appreciate that too. And that's where you can sign the red pads and drop those in the offering plate also. It helps the deacons on collecting those. And we want to thank everyone that's helping with the new drama that we're going to have this morning. And you can read those names, and we appreciate that. It's exciting to have something different. The Christmas poinsettias, you can read about those and ordering those. And the cookie walk, December 3rd, you can come down at 9 and help with those. And I believe they're decorating the church that day also at 10:30. Or is that right, 10:30? 9. They're going to be decorating at the same time. Then the cookie walk will be December the 10th. So if you want to make some cookies, you can let the ladies know. And then you can read the other announcement also. Any other announcements need to be made that I have not made? Mission trip to Nicaragua. And this will be his second time going. And so then he'll come back and hopefully give a slide presentation and talk about it. Any other announcements? Thank you. Do we have a count of how many guests we had or how many people ate? I didn't count. Okay. Probably about 68. Any other announcements? This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Opening hymn of praise for this Advent Sunday is the Advent of our God, 120. Thank you. worship continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed within your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you for your patience with each of us. We can be a very difficult people while we await your second coming. Forgive us for continuing to live under the spell of sin. Show us how to live out our faith while we wait for the King of Kings. Remind us that we are to gather others into your kingdom. Give us the courage to reach out to people who need a Savior and a church home. Help us to work together in love. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Jesus Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift from Jesus Christ.
Let's join together with a real sense of unity here at Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church with other Christians and churches around our community and the world as we recite our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body,
Let's take a moment and greet one another. If you don't know someone's name, be sure to find out.
East end of town, with Mary riding on the donkey, and Joseph leading. By the way, will she be able to ride?
Doctors said her injuries were only
minor. Oh, good, good. Make sure that donkey's calm next time. Give that donkey Valium or something. Now we're in the procession on the west end of town by Leonard's barn, which has been decorated as a manger scene. Shortly after Mary and Joseph set up the manger scene, the shepherds will pass through next, and then the wise men following the star. Once everyone reaches the barn, the stable, that's when the audience will be seated for the official Christmas program. Now, who's in charge of the animals? Make sure they do their thing before the procession. We don't want to be stepping in anything disgusting. Who's decorating the manger? Who's decorating the manger? Do you have enough?
May.
Do you have enough people? Do you have enough people?
Yes. There's plenty. Three.
Yes. Excellent. Use them all.
I've got enough people and more than enough lights.
Good. Excellent.
What about the star?
I've got three volunteers. Where are they?
Here we are. We are. Here.
Hope, joy, peace. Your job is to pick up the star. Take it down the road and up that mountain. Once you reach the top, just plug it into the generator. It'll light up the sky. Got it? Good luck.
We volunteered for this?
You gotta be kidding me.
This could prove to be interesting.
It's too big. I can't do this.
Sure you can. It's just a little hill.
It's 12,000 feet high.
That's like saying Adolf Hitler was a little power hungry.
Look at the top. There's nothing but rocks.
That's only because it's timberline area.
What?
It simply means that trees don't grow past a certain altitude.
Oh. Or oxygen level.
We all agreed. Look, think how wonderful it will be to see this star shining down on our town. So what if it's a bit, maybe more than we anticipated? That shouldn't stop us from trying. Besides, we can do anything with the help of the Lord. We just have to have faith. With that, we can move mountains.
I don't think he meant this big mountain, did he?
I believe.
Hope, what are you doing?
I'm using my great faith to move this mountain.
It's still there.
Oh, man.
Now what do we do?
It's hopeless.
I got an idea. Now look at it.
What?
Well, it seems to me that the size of the task is overwhelming you, making it feel like a hopeless situation. If we keep our eyes on the trail ahead of us and keep our focus on each step.
And trust the Lord will get us there.
Then we have a chance. I can't do this myself, but my hope is in the Lord, so I'm going to trust him to get us up there one step at a time.
That's the spirit.
Oh, well, what are we waiting for? Let's go. You can get it. I got this one.
Okay. Oh, easy. Easy. Okay, easy.
How much further is it?
We haven't even gone 100 yards.
Focus!
Focus!
Thank you. Our responsive reading is on the screen. I'll read the first line. You'll read the second. Yours is repetitious. And if anyone has trouble reading it, please let me know for next week, and I'll try to make it a little bit bigger. Yes, that would help me. Thank you. Okay. Advent is a time to wait.
We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield.
During Advent, we wait for light in the darkness.
We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield.
During Advent, we wait for freedom from captivity.
We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield.
During Advent, we wait for comfort in sorrow. During Advent, we wait for power and weakness.
We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield.
This morning, due to the length of the service with communion, I'm going to ask you if you have any prayer requests that you write them down and give them to me after the service. And I can be in prayer, I can pass them down on the computer. So people will be praying, but please peruse the back of your bulletin and continue to pray for these persons and the ones also listed in your valley. And we'll go to the Lord in prayer, and Presbyterian tradition we'll say debts and debtors. Let us bow in a word of prayer. Dear God in heaven, as we begin this season of Advent, we pray that you will teach us to wait with patience, endurance, and trust, always holding to the eternal promises revealed to us through the power of your word. We ask that you remind us of your everlasting presence, your promise to never leave us and never to forsake us. We thank you that you have come into the world once in the form of a baby, and that we await your second coming, your second advent, in power as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords at the close of the age. We pray for that this day. We thank you that you are powerful and almighty, and that you can give us the gift of salvation, and we can have a sense of peace. As we lift all of our prayers up to you, some whispered to you at this time, some in print, some we've been mentioning week after week. We thank you that you hear our prayers and answer them according to your love and your mercy, your kindness, your forgiveness of our sins. And remind us to have the forgiveness of sins. We simply need to ask for them. And you promise to forgive us and give us that gift of eternal life, and even the abundant life here on earth. But that abundant life doesn't mean that we don't have trials and tribulations and troubles, because certainly we will. But you will walk beside us every step of the way. And Lord, we pray that our Christian friends will walk with us also, that our church will be there for us and with us, that we can call upon our pastor in our time of need, that we can call upon one of our friends in a time of need, that we can go to the Bible in the time of need, in the Psalms and in the pastoral letters and in the Gospels, and we can look for comfort. Lord, bring us a sense of peace this day. We thank you for every kind thing that you have done for us in the past, that you will do for us today. You will do for us as long as we live this life, and you will do for us when we go to the next life for all of eternity. Lord, we thank you for Jesus and for this wonderful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Just do the refrain, is that right? Now the hymn of preparation. I jumped ahead, sorry. I see now.
Rejoice, 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 rej
Let's bow for a word of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, first of all, we thank you for the cross of Jesus Christ and what it means for the world and what it means for us who have accepted you as Lord and Savior and the promise of eternal life. And we thank you as a congregation here at Glenshaw Valley for the talents that we have been blessed with, for the drama that was here this morning, and for the bell choir and the music, the prayers and the fellowship that is here, and the giving of the monies, everything that is done and given for your glory. We thank you, Lord, and for the Thanksgiving meal that was given to the community for fellowship, that people did not have to be alone. Lord, bless this church and help us to be a blessing in even greater ways to the community. Lord, thank you that you love us so much. Help us to love one another. In the name of Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and even our friend. Amen. This time I'm going to call Dom Lombardo up to read the scripture. And thank him for doing it.
Our scripture today is Mark 13, 32 through 37. This is Jesus telling everyone that the end is near and that we should watch out. Here it is. But about that day or hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone. Watch.
Thank you, Dom. Very nice job. Margaret was all ready for her date. She was wearing her best outfit. Her hair was all fixed up the way she wanted to be. Felt perfect about everything. Imagine her disappointment when her date did not show up. Margaret decided that he just wasn't going to come that night. So she changed into her pajamas, washed off all of her makeup she had spent so much time putting on, gathered up all the junk food that she could find, parked herself in front of the television for the evening, found the television show that she wanted to watch. Then there was a knock at the door. She opened the door to find her handsome date standing there with a bouquet of flowers. 2 hours late, he stared at her in shock and then said in disbelief, "I'm 2 hours late for our date and you're still not ready." Welcome to this first Sunday in Advent. This is the Sunday that we begin getting prepared for the second coming of Christ. But we're also talking about the first coming of Christ when he was born in Bethlehem. And that's sometimes what we think the most about, the babe in Bethlehem. The choir has been preparing its music and doing such a wonderful job, singing and the bells. We're in the process of decorating the church. Communion is being served today. Drama was added to our worship service, and a very nice job. And it's always amazing to watch our society gearing up for the celebration of Christmas, the placements of lights, the singing of the Christmas carols, and everything being put out even before Thanksgiving is over. The holiday sales, Black Friday, even the post office is affected by this. David Letterman had an old joke, and he said there's some good news out of Washington, D.C., he said the post office is ready for the big holiday and the crunch of mail. They've already placed an order for 10 million new signs that will read, "This window closed." Well, our friends at the U.S. Postal Service do their very best, and they are really crunched at Christmas time. I don't know how they do what they do. It's an enormous job getting ready and all the cards that go out and the packages and people getting ready, shopping and presents. And one poor guy said, I started my Christmas shopping. I've already been to 3 banks trying to get a loan. Some of us can relate to that as much as we spend at Christmas time trying to satisfy the needs of our spouse or our loved one or all of our family members or our children. We're getting ready. Black Friday, Cyber Monday, pulling out the plastic. Of course, our Jewish friends have spent hundreds, even thousands of years getting ready for the Messiah to come. In fact, they're still waiting. They do not believe, as we do, that the Messiah in the personhood of Jesus Christ has already come the first time 2,000 years ago. Leo Rostin tells an amusing story that comes out of the Jewish tradition. There was a man in a small Russian village who, because of his disabling condition, could not find employment, and the community council wanted to help him without making him feel bad about himself, and they decided to give him a job. They paid him 2 rubles to go sit on the mountainside all day long and just sit on the hill outside of the village every day from dawn to sunset. He said, you will be our watchman when the Messiah comes. And when he comes, you run to town and tell us the Messiah has come. The Messiah, he is coming. The man's face lit up just thinking of the glory of his new position, plus having a job and money coming in. So every morning he greeted the dawn from the hill, and not until sunset every day did he leave his treasured position. And a year went by, and a traveler approached the village, noticed the figure sitting up on the hill. Shalom, called the traveler. He said, what are you doing here? He said, I'm waiting on the Messiah, very proudly. It's my job. And the traveler asked him, somewhat amused, how do you like this job? Suppressing a smile. Frankly, it doesn't pay much, said the poor man, but it's steady work. That would be steady work if you did not believe that Jesus the Messiah had already come. 2,500 years of waiting and watching for the coming of the Lord, and the prophet Isaiah is still waiting for the Messiah. And he writes these words, beginning in the 64th chapter. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, and the mountains would tremble before you. And when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil, come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. Isaiah lived in a time when the people of Israel were suffering because of their infidelity to God. They had turned their backs upon God, not really believing anymore. And Isaiah knew that the people could not save themselves. It was too late for that. So he paints a rather gloomy picture. And on a gentler note, he begins to write, yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay, you are the potter. We are the work of your hand. Do not be angry beyond measure. Lord, do not remember our sins forever. Oh, look on us, we pray, for we are all your people. Isaiah was writing for a Savior. Many people today are waiting for a Savior. Did you know that? And some of them are your neighbors, maybe your next door neighbor. Somehow, someday, somewhere, the world awaits a Savior in the same way that Isaiah cried out, oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. Many in our world today cry out for a Savior. And the Savior came in the babe of Bethlehem, but still the world awaits. That is the meaning of Advent. Advent is a celebration of what has been and what is yet to come, the duality of it. The Savior of the world has come to us in the babe of Bethlehem, but this was simply the beginning of God's redeeming work. A beachhead was established, but the war over evil and darkness still has not been won. That victory will only be completed when the Savior returns and the kingdom of God is established in this world, even as it is in heaven now. It's so easy with our comfortable lives to focus on the beauty and the joy of Christmas. It's much more difficult for us to focus on the meaning of Advent, the season when the world groans with the birth pangs as it awaits God's final victory over sin and suffering. A couple from the United States spent some time as missionaries in the Soviet Union, former Soviet Republic, and they were caring for children in an orphanage, many kids who had never known parents. And they were simply overwhelmed by the tragedy and how many children there were. On one occasion, this missionary couple was teaching the children about Christ and about what it was, what Christmas meant. And they told them about Mary and Joseph and the angels and the stars and the manger scene and the star in the sky and God's world and how the babe in Bethlehem embodied all of this. And after the teaching, the Christmas story, this couple invited them to draw some pictures of the manger scene. And all the pictures were wonderful, but one in particular caught this missionary couple's attention. It was drawn by a little boy named Misha. And what Misha's drawing was distinctive, there was not one baby in the manger, but two. And they said, "Misha, what a wonderful picture," said the missionary woman, "but who is the other baby in the manger?" And Misha looked up with a very loving, sweet expression on his face and said, "Oh, the other baby, that's Misha." "Oh," the woman said, "you added yourself into the manger scene?" He said, "Well, I was drawing the picture of the baby Jesus. Jesus looked at me and said, 'Misha, who is your family? Where is your family?' And I said to Jesus, 'I have no family.' Then Jesus said to me, 'Misha, where is your home?' And I said to Jesus, 'I have no home.' Then Jesus said to me, 'Misha, you can come to my home and you can be a part of my family." We're so thankful that Misha was introduced to Jesus Christ. We need to understand that after 2,000 years, there's still millions of people who do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. They're still awaiting a Savior. You'll find them in the Soviet Union, but you'll find them in Glenshaw and Shaler and Millvale and Hampton, all around you, next door to you, who've heard His name but reject Him as Savior and Lord. Want nothing to do with church. But it is our responsibility to reach out to these little ones and adults and to do our best as a Church of Jesus Christ to help them find Jesus as the babe in Bethlehem and the King of Kings who will come again. That's their hope. And the Scripture promises us one day that the wolf will lie down with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the goat, and the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. You know, the Savior has come, but much of this world still awaits a Savior. And we forget that sometimes. And here's the promise of Scripture. Christ will return, and truly the day will come when no child will be left behind. There will be some peace and justice in the world, and sin and suffering will cease when Christ comes back. It is the promise of Scripture that one day the nations of the world will beat their swords in the plowshare and the spears into pruning hooks. This is what Advent is really all about. It is not really about the Christmas carols that we sing. It is really not about the lights that we hang. It is really not about the presents that we go out and buy and purchase and give. It is about preparing ourselves to celebrate the birth of the Savior of 2,000 years ago. It is also about preparing ourselves and our world for the Savior's return for the second time at the end of the days when all things in this world will be set aright. And no one knows when that day will be, but I do know this. The cries of God's children will not forever go unanswered. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. We need to pray that today. Our Savior has come down in the manger of Bethlehem, and he is coming again to answer the cries of his children that cry for his second coming, for peace, for justice, for the end of sin, for the end of suffering and pain. May God bless you on this first Sunday of Advent. Communion hymn is 274, Break Thou the Bread of Life, verses 1 and 2. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're about to come before you and receive communion. It is a very holy act, a sacrament, and we thank you for the privilege to remember your suffering that brings salvation to the world. We thank you for that. And we take just a moment to confess the sins that we've committed as Christians. Not that we've lost our salvation, but it brings us just a little further away from you, and we want to be close to you. We know that we cannot make our own salvation. We cannot work hard enough, be good enough. We accept your righteousness, because the Bible says ours is as filthy rags. But we confess our sins, because you are a holy and a righteous God. And we want to be as pure as possible when we receive the Lord's Supper. Thank you for forgiving us of our sins. You're faithful and just in that way. And help us to go and sin no more. And when we do sin, to immediately confess to you. Thank you, Lord, for your love and your compassion and for giving us this sacrament. In the name of Christ, our Lord and Savior, we do pray. Amen. Please be seated. Just want to remind you that everyone is welcome to receive communion in our Presbyterian church here. We just ask that you are a believer in Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. And as far as any children, youth here, that is up to the parents when they would receive communion, and you do your best to explain it to them. We'll hold the elements, the bread, and then we will take it together with a sense of unity, and also the juice representing the blood of Christ. We will take that together with a sense of unity. On the day that our Lord and Savior was betrayed, he took the bread, he blessed it, and he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, which has been given for you. As often as you eat it, do so in remembrance of me." Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. If you have seen me, then you have seen the Father." Let us in unity and with reverence remember the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. On the same day that our Lord and Savior was betrayed, he took the cup of the New Testament, pouring it, saying, "This is my blood, which has been shed for the remission of the sins of the many. As often as you drink it, do so in remembrance of me." Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. If you will confess with your heart and believe in your mouth, that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, you shall be saved. Let us once again remember the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our closing hymn is Nativity Prayer 126. And while we're getting ready to sing that, announcement, dishes from the Thanksgiving dinner are in McFadden Hall. So if anybody gets those, I don't know if they're actually in the kitchen or actually in McFadden Hall. They're actually in the hall. So feel free to go over there and get those before something happens to them. And if I seem a little off kilter this morning to you, I am off kilter this morning. Had family in the house from Thursday night until this morning. So that's why. So I apologize. I'll be back next Sunday. Hymn number 126, A Nativity Prayer. This sanctuary today, go with a sense of hope. Go renewed in your faith, believing that Jesus Christ came into this world the first time as a babe and died for our sins and arose and ascended into heaven, and that he will come back the second time in power and glory and might and reclaim his church and his world. And go out into the world and give them that message of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.